Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from the Bright Red Desk on a very hot day in New York with the humidity and the heat. It's summer in the city. Hot time, summer in the city. So I'm waiting for Heather and Mark to show up. So I'll start without them because I'm assuming they're coming. No email saying they weren't. Today is July 27, 2020. The energy of the week, you know, as I mentioned last week, the weekend was going to be a little tough, which it was. A lot of people had big revelations, big aha moments, kind of crazy stuff, frankly. And if you watch the world, you know, what happened Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, more Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, was Mars got to the degree of he entered a shadow, which is the degree he's going to station on November 13th. So he started telling us about the upcoming retrograde journey that he's going to spend 6 months doing between now and the beginning of January. So when we look at Mars, we really see him as this kind of forward-moving kind of guy, and he was at the degree where he's going to cause a little trouble, or where he's going to be causing stuff and excitement. And as I said, Mars, guess who arrived? One of my favorite Aries. Mark, you're out there?
Yes. Hello, Anne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
Having a little heat wave.
Yes. Well, I was saying, you know, the weekend, Mars entered his shadow of 15 degrees, where he's going to stop when we get to next November. So he goes all the way up in stations on September 9th, and then he goes backwards to the degree that happened this weekend. And then he goes forward and he clears stuff in January. So our job with this was to watch what happened in our own lives, in our own charts, and where he caused a little kerfluffle, he did. He might not have, but, you know, if he did, then go, ooh, that's what I'm going to be working on. In our culture, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on in the world.
A lot of Mars.
A lot of Mars in the world. And, of course, that is, you know, the story for the next 6 months, basically. So you want to think about where it was in your chart. You want to think about what you saw in the world about stuff. And we remember Mars is a warrior energy. But one of the things that one of my friends says a lot is you can take the energy and try and turn it into something else because it's energy. And so that's part of the beauty of energy is we don't have to fight with it. We can take action and do something in a new way. So I think it's important for all of us to kind of go, okay, what did I see? What did it feel like? I'm going to be working with that for the next 6 months. Okay, how do I want to do it? So that's that energy. So kind of watching that is really important. Yeah, so go.
It's good to remember that Mars energy is not motivated.
Yeah.
It's just energy.
Right.
And it has to flow like water has to flow downhill. One way or another. It doesn't try to cause floods. It just goes where it needs to go. And that's what the energy of Mars is. So if you channel it, you can affect where it goes and how it goes.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to use it to fight, although that might be your instinct. Yeah. And I think that's part of, you know, when we look at using energy in a different way. The other thing we have the week ahead, we have Jupiter and Neptune in a sextile, right? So that's going to be a very strong story around how we communicate, how we connect, how we relate. This is part two, the retrograde version. And Jupiter, of course, is our dreams and what we want to make of them. And Jupiter is how we want to ground our dreams because he's in Earth. And Neptune's his brother. You know, it's the sky god hanging out with the ocean god. So the two of them are really active, and we're really looking at them and saying, wow, what are you doing up there? So what do you say to people when there's all that emotion flying around?
Yeah. I say find new ways to use it. With Neptune, there's often something in music or film, and I wouldn't be surprised if we find some new ways to do music with social distancing. Or virtually, there might be new ways to bring musicians together.
Yeah.
But through electronic communication. So I'd say look for that.
Mm-hmm. And then in your own chart, look at where you're being asked to kind of ground, you know, because this COVID clump is blowing up everything, right? It's making us all look at the structures of our life, and it's shifting them, changing them, sometimes tipping them over, sometimes realigning them. But as it does that, we're each being asked to figure out what our new structures are going to look like. And in some cases, you know, it's just not clear yet. But with the Jupiter-Neptune sextile, it kind of invites us to go, well, if you could do anything, and I would encourage you not to feel bound by what has happened in the past. I was on a meeting today, and it was like, well, that's what we did, and that's how we do it, you know, and it was kind of like, well, that's how we did it. Do we want to continue to do it going forward? You know, is that what we want? Is that the vision of our dream or not? Right? And we have to kind of think about what is our dream, and more importantly, because that's our dream, can we do it in a new way? Or, you know, not looking at the old way it was done, but coming up with something different, new, a different approach. And that helps new ways of connecting, right?
Right.
Which is important, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a lot. And then Mercury, of course, goes up. You know, last week the Sun went opposite the COVID clump. This week Mercury goes opposite it. And he's going to kind of kick it up, punch it up, and ask us, point out things, say things, make us see things. And, of course, he's not in his shadow anymore. This week he's in Cancer, so he's answering to Scorpio today and tomorrow. And then he's answering to Sagittarius on Wednesday, Thursday. And then he goes into Capricorn on the weekend. And so he's passionate and intense. And then he's kind of opinionated and maybe a little bossy. And then he's somber and, you know, arguing or holding out for a structural change that he wants to make. So I think when we see oppositions in the sky, we know that we're going to be dealing with people not necessarily agreeing with us. And so then we have to figure out what we want to do about it, if anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think in the case of Mercury opposite the COVID clump, we might finally get some messages straightened out. There's been so much confusion about how to handle this COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems like everybody's on a different page, or at least half a dozen different pages.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be a little more unified message coming through.
A little more consistency in the message.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the... that's part of it. And, you know, and I don't know, I call them the converts, you know, the Arkansas governor, the Arkansas senator who was an anti-masker, you know, he just came down with it. He's in the hospital, and he wrote a note saying, this is nothing to fool around about, you know, Senate of the Senate and the senator. This is nothing. And I thought, ooh, we're going to be another seat available? And then I thought, Ann Ortley, don't go thinking like that, you know. But I was like, you know, he was against masks, and no, and, you know, and he's got it,
right.
You know. And I'm like, the converts, you know, after they get it, you know, it's like, oh, maybe it isn't a hoax. So it'll be interesting.
Well,
we may see
a bunch more of those with Mercury opposing the COVID.
Better, yeah.
Because Mercury is the messenger.
Yes, yes. And he also is opposite Jupiter, first, and then opposite Pluto and Saturn. And of course, one of the things that we're running up against at the end of the month is evictions, you know, a lot of moratorium on evictions. But, you know, even if we postpone it, you know, the people don't have enough money to pay the rent, and they're talking about, well, we don't want to give them $600 because they're going to stay home, because they make more money staying home than they do working. And I'm like, well, maybe they need a raise, you know, like,
yeah.
If you think $600 a week makes them stay home, maybe they should be paid more. You know, I just think we're really looking at the structures and the messages we give. Well, we're only going to give them $200. Okay, so then when we get to the end of the next thing, they're going to have less money to pay whatever rent they didn't pay, and they're not going to be able to buy food. So what is our vision, people, for how we're going to do this? You know, I think it's very slapdash, I think is the word, where it's like slapdash,
yep.
Yeah. And that's the Mercury opposite Saturn. It's like have a cohesive, concrete plan, get a vision, work on it, work the plan.
Yeah,
although I don't hold a lot of hope for that with all the Neptune. say again, sorry?
And take responsibility.
And take responsibility.
For what you say, what you hear.
Yeah.
There's been too little of that. Oh,
yeah.
I'm not responsible. You know.
Yeah.
And that's on the political level, and it's also individual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether you wear a mask or not, you're responsible for that decision.
Right, right. And responsible for the impact it has on others downstream. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's really an interesting, I look at other countries where they're just not having this kind of craziness, and I'm like, what is it in our chart that's making us do this way? And I'm thinking it's trying to that Neptune and Virgo in the ninth house. You know, that Neptune is in the third, opposite our natal Neptune. So that's all the mixed messages and, of course, all the conspiracy things, you know, conspiracy theory. And
that's Neptune in the third, that's true.
Yeah, Neptune in the third, opposite our natal Neptune in Virgo, you know.
Yeah.
And if I hear one more person say Bill Gates wants to put nanochips, I'm going to be like, really? Like, you carry a cell phone, you pay $100 a month for you to be tracked by the government. Like, you don't think they know where you are? I mean, I searched a vitamin on my computer, and it appeared on my cell phone.
Right.
You know, I'm like, wow, you guys are good. You got it all linked up, you know.
Yeah,
and it was different browsers. It wasn't, you know. But
you don't remember ever getting permission.
Well, I didn't give any permission for that, but they know, you know. And I think, I think it's really understanding. I mean, I get the paranoia with the Mercury-Neptune opposition because that is a paranoid placement, but it also is an obsession. It's a little bit of an obsession, too, where people get very obsessed. So that's the other piece. That's the other thing to watch for this week. People can be very obsessed about stuff and really running kind of a jagged edge, so to speak, where they're like, oh, because Mars is coming in to square these guys, and he's stimulating them. You know, and we feel him as he's approaching. It takes him a little while to get there. But, we feel him as he draws in, unlike Uranus or Saturn, where when they hit, we know it on the day. Mars, we feel the approach. So, yeah. Big stuff out there.
So
anything else you want to say to help our listeners figure out their thing?
I don't think this week there's not a major blow up. It's just a steady progression.
A steady progression and lots of news coming to light.
News
showing up, right? Where we have news. And, of course, Mercury opposite Saturn, you know, right before when I came on here, Ghislaine Maxwell was like, I don't want the dirty pictures shown. I'm like, no, we want to see the dirty pictures. We want to see who do you have porn films on, right? You know, who was filmed in your mansions and your different places, you know? So.
Maybe this is where the pee-pee tapes are.
I think so. It's an interesting, we live in interesting times, as they say in the Chinese. May you live in interesting times. Yeah, I think that's the highlights, the opposition from Mercury, the Neptune, Jupiter sextile, Mars, you know, really watch like last weekend and today for what you're going to be working on, what that looks like. You know, in my case, it's like some organizational stuff. It's in my second house. It's some money stuff. It's a little cranky, you know, I'm definitely a little cranky. And I'm like, all right, you know, you're a little cranky. It's okay. You know, and just kind of watch the anger. I attended a weekend workshop, a workshop last week, which, you know, was a couple hours a day. And I didn't obviously get to watch it all last week. So I was watching one of them, and one of the ladies who spoke, her name is Ann Ulanoff. She's a brilliant Jungian. And she spoke and said, when you have a projection onto somebody, and this is a big week for projection with the Mercury-Saturn opposition, which is you imbue them with things they don't have, right? You either think, oh, my God, they're going to save me, or you look at them and then go, oh, you're bad. You know, whatever that is that's not, you're giving them that. You know, people call it shadow, people call. But she said consciousness of projection, like being conscious that you're projecting, like knowing you're doing it, is the first step to consciousness, which I thought was really interesting. Like being aware, like, oh, no, you're projecting your stuff on me. That's not mine. That's yours. Or I gave you that. I thought you would be magical, wonderful, whatever. And with the Mercury-Saturn opposition, this is really seeing people clear, you know, Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter. This is really seeing people that you gave them something that maybe they didn't, that maybe isn't theirs, maybe it's yours, right? And I thought it was a really interesting quote, you know, that you're giving to them what you're working on. And when you become conscious of that, that's the first crack in the armor of getting conscious. I thought it was a really interesting quote, because it's true.
Remember,
you know,
remember the Jupiter-Neptune section.
That
plays into that too.
Right. You must be like that. You know, or you're idolized, of course, is one version, but also you're a bad person. You know, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
So, or you're doing bad things. And being conscious of what that is and then your reaction to it. Of course, with the Mars squaring these planets, you know, it's very active. And, of course, Mercury squares Mars, so that'll be more angry words. I am getting kind of tired of seeing these videos with people yelling at each other, though. Although they're kind of fun to watch a little bit, you know, like the other day in Ralph's, I think it was, the guy didn't wear a mask, and so he was yelling at her, and he started to attack her with a grocery cart, and the clerk pepper sprays him in the face, and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, she goes, he was accosting me with a grocery cart, because I told him to wear a mask, you know, so I'm like, all right, I hear you, you know, yeah. Some of them are fun. I shouldn't. See, that's a projection. This guy on the floor with a lot of milk on his face. You know, I was like, well, don't go coming after some woman with your grocery cart. There I go.
Right.
Negative projection, right? So, yeah, it's all good. So just watch it and kind of watch where your Mars goes and then go, is that mine or yours? Whose is that? Yeah, whose is that? So, and then watch when you rail. A lot of times with these energies, you rail. You go, rah, 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 you rail. Wave your fist at the sky and then pull it down and go, that feels better. And then go, okay, what am I actually really mad about? Because this is really stirring up very old stuff.
Yeah.
Mars is 15. We're all 15, 16-year-old kids right now. And arguing with the heavens about stuff. So, do you have anything to say on projection before we take a call from our listeners?
No, I think we can go ahead and pick up a call.
Okay. Anybody out there want to do it? None of you have your hand raised. You got to press 1. Or we'll just call on you. Nobody press. Oh, there we go. We got a couple of hands pressed. And 405-445, you were the first to press. What's your question?
Yay! I want to know about, first, hello, how are you all? Thank you for taking my call. My name is Sylvia. Birthday 4-4-61-5-51 a.m. Memphis, Tennessee time.
5:51 a.m. Yep.
Yes.
And what city?
Memphis. State, Tennessee.
Okay, TN. And what is your question?
I wanted to know about love life, romance.
Love life and romance. Okay, I like that. We got to make a happy question. Yeah. Okay, so let me just review. April 4, 61, 551 a.m. Memphis. Talking about the love life. All right. Well, very passionate chart. And right now Mars is squaring your Mars in Cancer, so you are in the mood. You also are having your second Saturn return this year. And you're going to have Jupiter and Saturn meet up in the fall, in December, which starts a new 20-year cycle around relationships. So back in May of 2000, was there a serious relationship? And back in 1980, when you were 19, was there a serious relationship?
Yes, it was. I got pregnant. Let me see. And
that
I had my
serious.
Child in 1980. He's 8'8". My son is 8'8", 1980.
Okay, great. And then what happened in 2000? Around May of 2000, around relationships. Or money. It could be around money and value, too.
I don't remember was I married?
Well, the summer of 2000, yeah.
Did I get married in 2000? I think I got married in 2000 and divorced in 2008.
All right, that counts. So you got that happening again in December. So we're going to watch who shows up because you're starting a new 12-year cycle. And this time it's about, you know, a good energy around relationship, partnership, connection, and, you know, what you want to do for the next 12 years or longer. It can be longer than that, too. But you're starting a new expansive energy around relationships and community. Plus, you're a Venus-Sun conjunction. So if we go back to last August, August 15th of 19, did you break up with somebody then? Or did you say, gee, I think I want to
have a... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay.
I met someone the latter part of August last year, and it lasted August, September, October. We broke up in October, got back a few weeks later, and we broke up again, and it's been over with from, I'll say, November before Thanksgiving. That was the last, short-lived.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you're due for another one. Every one of the ones I pulled, you popped a relationship on. So we're like, yes, you're having a relationship. This should be good. The Sun-Venus conjunction that we had on June 2nd and 3rd was on your solar arc ascendant and your progressed sun, which is at 11 and 13, Gemini. And you're born on a Sun-Venus conjunction. So your chart is very active, and you're also born on a Venus retrograde. And she was retrograde on June 1st and 2nd. So I would be willing to say you've got a big relationship coming in, and we're going to watch for the timing of it. Mars is in your first house off and on through the end of February, but that is going to go over your sun, and it comes to your Venus three times. So it might be three relationships, or it might be part one, part two, part three, because you know you always kind of do a little dance with them, right? You get together, and then you break up, and you get together. But I think they're in 2 months, and then you're good to go because your progressed moon is coming to your Jupiter. So moon being one of the relationship indicators for you because he rules your home, family, and, you know, you've got a really nice little moon in that chart. So moon in Scorpio, that's the passionate part. Mark, what do you see?
Look for a steady passion in this one.
I think so.
You know, not so much a short term fling, but more of a something that can last.
Yeah.
And you'll feel much more at home with that. You feel like you're coming home.
Yeah, yeah. You might even live with them, Sylvia.
In this state or out of state? in this state or out of state?
I don't know. They might be from out of state. They might have a little bit of a travel
from
piece
out of
too.
State. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
But
you
there's
a
lot of
back and forth.
Yeah, there's a finger of God forming. I mean, you have one in your chart, but it's being activated, and the housing planet is being activated too. That's in about 4 months. So it could be a commuter. But, I mean, I'm looking at Venus over your Mars over your Venus three times, and Mars rules your seventh house, and Venus rules your seventh, and then Mars rules your first, and Venus rules your second. So first and second. So these are really big relationship aspects. And then progress moon on your Jupiter. Like, what is your dream of this person, and in they come. That would be my take on it. So,
yeah,
I think it looks question, good. Abe, is he showing up? This, I mean, relates. Are you talking about, like, I'm trying to get a little bit more clarity. Like, starting mm-hmm. this year, I heard you mention something.
Oh, yeah.
December.
Oh yeah, he's in by December.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
couple of months.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we have COVID.
Okay, so.
But yeah, no, he's in by December. Yeah, because you're having the conjunction. When I said to you 80 and 2000, and you popped marriage and your baby, those are big relationships mm-hmm. for you, right? And then
right.
when I said last August, you popped a guy who was pretty nice. I mean, you liked him, but he was a little unstable. And now this one is
very
more
unstable.
Like, this one's not unstable. This one's actually nice. So you should like
yeah.
him, and he should be somebody that stays for a while. So. Yeah, let's go.
Well, I'm looking for long term. I would like to have long term, you know, like long term.
Yep.
Let's grow mm-hmm. old together. Let's transition together, meet each other on the other side. That kind of,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're really ready for that now. You have, not that you haven't
yeah.
been ready before, but, you know, the Aries sun kind of goes, and I'm not saying this in a mean way, a lot of times you're more strong than they are, right? So it takes a good solid guy to be able to look at you and go, I'm not, you know, like, I'm not afraid, not afraid of you, because that's the wrong word, but your chart is impatient with people that don't walk their walk or do their talk, because you do. That's probably a better way to say
right.
And so this is going to be somebody that does that, you know. They're not going to
okay
be
is he going to be okay, close to my age, or I'm looking for someone close to my age or close to my age.
Well,
yeah.
I think there's an age difference. Just because, didn't you date older when you were younger?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so when you get older, you date younger, because you know that's an important part of the life, right? So a lot
yeah,
of times
I mean,
he's
like,
going to have. He's going to be an age difference from you. And as we get
yeah.
older, younger is good. Younger is good because we live 7 years longer than they do, right? So.
Okay, yeah. 5 years younger, yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere along there, yeah.
Yep. That sounds like
yeah.
a plan. Okay, yeah. You're
yeah.
working with me here. I hear you. You're working with me. Mark, do you see anything
yeah.
on the age in this guy?
Yeah, I'd say he's thinking that 5 to 7 years difference.
5 to 7, yeah. Yeah.
And it won't feel like a difference at all.
Yeah, no, it won't feel like a difference. But
I don't want 7.
but you're fast, you know, so they have to keep up with you. So that's
right.
part of it too.
Yeah.
You know, no dust, no. What's that song? Rolling Stone gathers no moss. You're a Rolling Stone. So,
mm-hmm.
but you are looking
mm-hmm.
to settle down a little. So that's good.
Yes, I am.
You're looking for somebody to ride the motorcycle with. You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So before we go, look for him to show up December or before December.
No, he can be in before September. But we're going to be locked down,
oh, okay.
So it's going to be a wartime romance, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
But
he's in by December. Down.
Yeah, he's in by December.
Okay.
He's in by December. Yeah, totally.
All right, but hopefully, I meet him before we get locked down.
Yeah, I know. That's kind
yeah,
of the
that,
thought.
You want to meet. Before that, yeah.
You definitely want to
should
meet
I
before
try online?
Pardon?
Should I try online?
You work
should
better
I
off of their
try?
Energy. If you do online, you have to meet them right away because you don't really have time
yeah.
to waste talking, doing emails and stuff. Yeah. So,
yeah. Okay, great.
You work off
great.
The energy of them. Yeah. Okay. So good. So we're done. The British lady said we're finished. We wish you all a good week. This is Ann Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk.
Okay, thank you, Anne. This is Mark Wolfs, signing off also from New York City.
Yeah.
And next week we'll have Heather with us.
Yeah, she's on vacay. So she's off and rolling. So yeah, we wish you all a good week, and just remember it's a little volatile out there, but really look at what you're running to this week, because that's what you're going to be working with until January. So it's important to kind of go, wow, that's a little wild. Okay, I can work with that. That's the focus. And on that note, we'll hang up and wish you a good night. Anne Ortley,
okay.
Bye.
Thanks for
seeing me. Bye, Mark. Talk to you next week.
Very good.
Bye.